This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
One wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine, intern Cody here as well. Got the podcast rolling, learning the board, putting him through training. Cam's got him in intern school right now. No time to ask him how he is, but Cam, how are you?
It's been a hectic 12 hours or so, actually.
Yeah.
You
all right? Anything
12,
you talk about?
12 hours from like last midnight? So what you're talking about?
Just from midnight to today.
Okay, maybe like 13 hours, yeah. Okay. Well, my phone randomly decides like, hey, I don't want to use the charging port anymore. So I was like, yeah. Oh, cool. Now my phone's going to die. And I Uber a lot now, so kind of hard to get an Uber without a phone.
So I heard.
Yeah. The rumor says. Yeah. So, had to deal with that last night. That was fine. That was, you know, I got through that situation, but I spent the whole night trying to figure out how to fix my phone.
There's
nothing
worse.
Couldn't do that.
Trying to look for old chargers.
Yeah, I tried every cord I could find.
Plug them in, hope they work when you know they don't work. That's why they're an old charger. Yep. That's why there's stuff somewhere in a
drawer. I don't have
like
a removable battery, or I would have, you know, just like jimmy rigged some batteries and, you know, some cables and charged it myself, but I couldn't do that. So I was just sitting there all day, and I was like, geez, how am I going to wake up in the morning without alarms?
So yours down bad.
Yeah, I was just struggling, so I wake up this morning, and I got up on time somehow.
Mm. No alarm?
Yeah, somehow I just woke up.
How about that?
I slept on the couch, because I was like, this will make me wake up earlier than if I like actually went to bed.
I have a mental alarm.
So you just wake up pretty much the same time, even if you don't set an alarm?
No, not really much the same time. It's an hour. It's like 30 minutes before I'm supposed to be up. So it can vary.
Interesting.
I think it's just whenever the nights I do that, like I just, whenever I actually have something I have to do, especially if it's big, like I just wake up periodically through the night anyways. So maybe I'm just kind of mistaking that for a mental clock. But I pretty much never have overslept like for important stuff. Yeah. Just,
I think I was stressing myself out enough that I woke up.
Exactly.
But yeah, I woke up, and luckily I live close enough that I can just like walk down to a bunch of like shops and stuff. So I went, had to go buy a wireless charger. And first I was like, okay, how am I even going to know if this is going to work? So then I went to like a phone store, and they're like, oh yeah, it should work on your phone. Like, we'll test it out. And it worked out, thankfully. And yeah, so now I got that going, but now it's just like leaving tomorrow, and I'm just
say,
all over. I had a completely different
York.
Game plan for this morning and last night, and now here we are, and I'm like, well, I got a few hours to get everything rocking and rolling, but we'll make do. NBA back tonight.
Hey,
was there a part of you that just thought of buying a phone? Getting a new phone?
A little bit, but I was like,
Was it the phone or was it the charger? See, you can never tell.
I used so many different chargers to try, but I think it's the phone's charging port.
Yeah, that's the same with me, because I thought it was the charger, and I bought three different chargers, and none of them work, and then I finally realized, well, I got to wrap the charger around the phone to have that certain angle where it's like pushed up a little bit, and that's the only way it charges.
Yeah, my phone's like, it's messed up for sure, because it keeps telling me that I have moisture in the charging port, and I don't. And it's just a whole mess. I've tried to warm it up and everything.
iPhone never does this, just for the record.
Yeah, I know, but I'm also like five generations behind on my phone. That's probably.
I am too. I realized that last night. Like, went to the game and, you know, was taking some pictures and like posted a picture on Instagram, and some woman roasted me and said, "What is this, the iPhone 8?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Actually.
No. Yeah, I was like, "Actually, it is." She's like, "What, are you kidding me?" I was like, no, it is. It's,
ouch.
Yeah, I've had this bad boy for a couple years.
That's where I'm at. I'm behind the times. I'm like, so maybe get to that point where I do need to buy a new one, but I just couldn't function with that in short notice like this and trying to scramble and go out of town. And I was like, I'll just power through with a wireless charger.
Do you guys have to have a new phone, though? Because, like, if it works, like, if I can shoot a text and you know, call, whatever, get on social media, if it all works that way, screen's not messed up, nothing like that.
No, I don't need the newest thing.
The charging thing's annoying, but...
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I don't. I just told you I had the iPhone 8. I don't need a new phone. Like,
but it works fine, right? Do you have any issues with this phone?
Yeah, picture quality. Picture quality. The women roasted me.
That's why you're always like, oh, my phone's dead. You take the picture.
That was...
Or you could send it to me.
It was such a nice way of calling me broke, I guess. Yeah. Like, I've never felt...
You are sitting in a Nissan Stadium in a packed house on Monday night.
Yeah, it's outside the stadium.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I didn't take the picture. Never mind. Maybe just had a focus. But again, one of the replies was, is this an iPhone 8? And I just had to say, yeah.
Good eye.
Yeah. Oh, I see that you know a lot about camera phones. Okay. Fair enough.
Huh. How are you, John? How's it feel? Man, how about it? Tighten up, huh?
I really just want to know how you feel watching Derrick Henry, as you have staked your claim that he is going to break down and that he can't possibly continue doing what he's doing. I'm more interested in how you feel watching him, because you are watching greatness.
And you got offered the cheapest buyout
ever. Man, I should take the buyout.
Before I left yesterday, I tried to be nice. It's in a good mood. It's like, just send me $175.
You offer it again today? Or
No. The price of the brick has gone up. Now, on the cash out option, it's, you know, $780. I'll let you get out because it's a lock. It's over. 250 yards clear.
He has 587 yards after contact, and the second leading rusher, Nick Chubb, has 523 yards.
Yeah.
That is insane, man. And that is literally insane.
And it's been funny, like, watching on the internet. Like, Browns fans get so mad that Nick Chubb doesn't get the same amount of love as Derrick Henry, and they're always like, well, he's got so many less carries. Chubb has a higher yards per carry. And you're just like, that's fine, but Chubb was out for an injury this week, and he's already splitting carries. Like, there's guys who are just built different. All the greatest running backs of all time were built this way. Like, I mean, and what I mean that is just, like, they weren't splitting carries. Like, all the all-time greats did the thing by themselves pretty much every year, and that's what made them so great. Not saying that, like, Chubb and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, aren't great running backs. They are, but, you know, they're splitting carries for a reason, because they would need to stay healthy and stay fresh, and it's worked for Zeke. He's looked better, but, like, you know, you got Pollard there giving him 15 carries or 10 if he has to. And with Chubb, of course, Kareem Hunt gets the ball a lot, and with Henry, man, it's just him, and he is unstoppable.
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Built different.
I get, like, he doesn't even look fast, man, and he still just runs away from people. I'm like the 75 yard touchdown, whatever. And, like, look like he's faster than anybody, and yet there he goes, and he beats everybody. He's 10 yards past him. I'm like, what?
On the 76 yard touchdown, he reached a top speed of 21.8 miles per hour, which was the fastest speed by a ball carrier this year. So, like, I know he doesn't look fast, but he is fast, and he's faster than a lot of people in the league.
Ridiculous.
At least when he gets in a straight line. You know, he's not the most agile when it comes to that, but that's why he just keeps ramming those 3-yard carries. And then, you know, I saw a new slant on trying to take him down now from Jason McIntyre. I was like, well, if you take out the 76-yarder, you know, he's only got 67 yards on 19 carries. That's 3.5 yards.
Wow.
And I would say if you took the lines off the end zone, he would have ran for 2,000 yards last night, because no one was going to catch him on that last run or that first run. And he had two more touchdowns that he could have broken for long runs as well. So, I mean, that was a weird slant that I've seen. It's like, well, those three touchdowns were good, and that 76-yarder was great, but otherwise, you know.
Not bad.
3.5 yards per carry,
That 76-yard touchdown was the longest touchdown the Bills had given up since, like, 2013.
Really?
Or rushing touchdown, I think, since 2013, they said.
I don't want to overstate it, but I will say that, like, he has to be in the MVP conversation, like, after last night. Doing that on primetime, like, you see what he's, like, how he's propping this up. Now, he's not going to win because it's a quarterback award, but, like, last week when we talked about it, he's like, what, 80-1? I was like, that's just too much, like, for what he's doing. And then he has a big primetime breakout performance. He's going to have a chance to run for 150 yards next week against the Chiefs as well, against a big-time Chiefs. So, if they're able to win that,
game.
Get to 5-2, you know, and he has another big performance, I think he's going to be there in the top – you know, three or four
conversations. If he breaks the rushing record, would that give him a little bit of a advantage maybe?
Well,
with other quarterbacks
at, you know,
maybe not breaking, you know, some passing records or something? Would that maybe give Derrick Henry a little bit of a edge there?
I mean, like, you know, we talked about it last week, but the back-to-back 2,000 yards is going to be just a big talking point. And, and this year, I mean, the touchdowns, you know, the touchdowns are going to be a big talking point as well. He's got 10. You know, and the next closest guy has 5 when it comes to running back. So that's getting it done on both sides, obviously. And, you know, last year, how many touchdowns did he end up with last year? Like 18, I think, 17, somewhere around there.
He's already got 10.
17,
he's got 10?
Yeah, he had 17 last year to go along with his 2,027 yards. Right now, I did the math. He's doing 130 yards per game. If you just timed this by 16, he'd be 2,080 yards. So, you know, he'd be better than last year. Of course, there is an extra game.
Yeah.
Now, you know, who knows if he plays all 17. But, you know, even with 16, he's on pace to get past 2,000 and, you know, end up with like 22 touchdowns or so. So that should put you in the MVP conversation as far as I'm concerned. But
you would think.
Shows up in primetime, shows up in big games. So that was cool to see. It was fun to be there. Turns out the Bills defense isn't as great when they're not playing Davis Mills and, you know, Jacoby Brissett.
What do you know?
Turns out when you actually play a team with a pulse, your defense goes, you know, from historically great to okay, they're just like any other NFL defense. And Tannehill was bad in the first half. It was, what, 4 of 12? And one of them was that, you know, that ricocheted pass that Julio caught down the field.
That was ridiculous.
I was mad in the stadium because I thought they just called, like, I thought they said it was incomplete, and I thought it was a catch. But, like, you know, then, like, obviously they didn't get reviewed or anything, but I guess the refs just fixed it because they gave him credit for the catch.
What's it say about the Titans, John? In the AFC, are they back to contender?
No, I mean, it just says what I've always thought. Like, they can beat anybody and they can lose anybody. Like, they play to the level of their competition. And
they do.
You know, I was, you know, joking the last 5 or 6 days about how the Titans had no chances because the Titans always rise to the occasion against good teams, and then they'll turn around and they'll lose to somebody they shouldn't. But, you know, the injuries are starting to pile up, man. Like, it's just you get past a point of no return, and
especially on that secondary, man, they're probably gonna have to pick somebody off the street, right? At this point, I mean, that's
and they've had
two
to do that
three
last,
injuries.
They've had to do that the last couple of years, and they found guys that like actually, you know, could give them some reps. So like, I think they'll find somebody from a practice squad that can at least play. And Fulton, he's on the short term IR, right? Like, he can still come back.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
but Farley's done.
Farley tore his ACL.
He's done.
And you know, Cameron Batson, an important special teams and like kind of gadget offense guy, he's done. LaJuan gets stretchered off. What the hell happened with LaJuan? Like, I was in front of me, but like, was he diving into the pile and hurt his neck? Is that what happened? Did anybody see? Like, it seemed like he was maybe trying to jump on top of somebody and ended up like getting a stinger or something. They carted him off.
Did Julio got injured too, didn't he, again?
Julio got ruled out for the game, yeah. So, like, I mean, like I said, the injuries are piling up, so it's going to be tough. But I will say, it was nice to see A.J. Brown. Especially in that second half. I mean, he was really, really good in the second half. Ended up with 7 catches, 91 yards. And then, you know, talks after the game about how he had food poisoning. Derrick Henry's like, well, how'd you feel about AJ's injury coming in? He's like, well, he just made sure he had a lot of toilet paper. And then AJ Brown takes a torch to Chipotle. Goes up there and just volunteers.
Did he?
Yeah, he just volunteers from them. He's like, you know, I ate some Chipotle and I got food poisoning. He's like, sorry, I know they're not going to give me an endorsement now, but...
Go the Mo's.
Guess he's going to go
get
to
the Mo's. Endorsement.
But, yeah, like, it was a good win. It kind of confirms what we know about the Titans. I will say the pass rush has been good this year. Like, it's clearly really fixed. You know, you wait and you see. But, like, the way, you know, they got pressure after Allen.
Harold Landry is probably the most underrated player on the Titans roster. He had like, 2 sacks.
He wasn't before last year or before this year. Like this year, he's in a contract year, so he's
kind of seems like every time I watch the Titans, he's kind of running around making plays.
Oh, no, he's been awesome. He's been the Titans' best defensive player. He's probably been their second best player overall behind Henry. Like he's been really, really good. And you know, I want to say maybe 2 weeks ago, he was I think second in the league in pressures. So like, I mean, he's doing big things, and then last night, just running around doing everything. They've got him playing more some back draw, you know, back in coverage linebacking as well. Yeah, this was, I guess, October 5th, so 2 weeks ago. He was actually number one in terms of individual quarterback pressure.
Wow.
Ahead of Joey Bosa and Myles Garrett. Now, I don't know if he's still going to have that. He's had, I think, 3 straight 2-sack games, though, so.
Damn.
He's balling. Jeffrey Simmons with a big stop at the end. It was a fun game. Tighten up.
I don't think there's any better way to not even a walk-off touch, I don't think, compares to just being able to stuff somebody on a 4th-and-1, being able to stop a QB sneak to end the game. Like, how awesome is that? That's got to feel great, especially for defense that, you know, they've had question marks the last this year and last year.
Yeah.
And for them to get that, I think that could be huge. Huge momentum. Mm-hmm.
I will say that, you know, I've always felt pretty comfortable with the Titans stopping the run in those short yardage situations. So, you know, a sneak is hard to stop, but they've done it a couple times over the last couple years. You know, they did it against Lamar a lot in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Twice.
They did it against the Patriots, you know, in that same playoff game or the same playoff run to start that. Like, stop the Chargers on the goal line to kind of get the run started when Tannehill got in, who adds another fourth quarter comeback and game-winning drive to his resume. He still leads the NFL in both categories since taking over at the Titans. So when you look at his numbers, not great. Didn't throw for a touchdown, but I believe in the second half was 9 of 9. Or maybe it was the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter was 9 of 9, leading to scoring drives and getting it done. And, you know, we'll talk about the Bills and what it means for them coming up after the break. But we're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors, only 100 calories. Please drink responsibly. Support the people who support us. Cam, send us to break. Let's talk sports on. A little bit of breaking news as the NBA is back tonight. Sixers coach Doc Rivers throws Ben Simmons out of practice.
Oh, my God.
And then the 76ers suspended him for one game for, quote, conduct detrimental to the team. And Ben Simmons will not speak to reporters today.
Is this – does there anything, like, specifically they're referring to him doing when it comes to detrimental to the team? Or is it just the whole charade that's been going on the past couple months?
He got kicked out of practice for apparently not being engaged, said Doc Rivers. So.
Well, yeah, I did see clips of him – like, everybody's in jerseys, right, kind of do the practice jerseys, all that. He was literally just in like a shirt, kind of hoodie type deal with sweatpants. You could see his phone was in his pocket. Like, obviously, you know, you can't play basketball with your phone in your pocket. You can't really run around. So it looked like he's just kind of going through the motions.
Is that gym class, Cam?
Yeah, literally.
I mean, it is a situation that you thought, okay, maybe you get him back in. You get him back at practice with the team, and he realizes it's the best for me and we'll be happy and everything will work out. Or he comes back and is like, I'm here so I don't get fined. Pulls a Marshawn Lynch and says, like, I'll go to practice. You want me here? You're not going to pay me till I'm here. I'm here. Well, pay me. And no, I still want to be traded. I don't want to be here. I don't like any of you people. Which...
Grow up, Ben Simmons. Yeah. Grow up. Like, come on. Either commit or not. Like, don't do all this. He finally shows up to the team, and then he's going to not even practice. They broke down the team huddle. He's, like, walking away as they're breaking it down. Like, this is embarrassing, man. This is embarrassing for him.
He's doing the same playbook, I guess, that James Harden did with the Rockets.
You're not James Harden, though, man.
No, he's not.
You can't score 36 a game. You can't shoot all these threes. You can't do this. You're not that good.
I will say, at least it looks like he's in shape, so. But, I mean, he's doing the Jimmy Butler as well. Jimmy did this in Minnesota, just – you go there and you just have to make people uncomfortable and, like, you have to force their hand. They don't want to trade you, then I guess you kind of have to go there and just make them realize they're better off trading you. Maybe they just send him home. Maybe they're like, you know what, actually just go home. Because that seems to be, like, what the play is. Like, if you're the Sixers and you're already having to suspend him and he's not, you know, invested, it seems like you'd be hurting your team by allowing that to continue. You should just send him home and say, we're going to trade you. Okay, you win. We're going to trade you. And, you know.
Well, how mad would it make you as a player to be like, yeah, this guy who didn't want to even come, doesn't even want to be here, still getting thrown in the starting lineup, getting the ball all the time? Like, that would piss me off if I was a role player or somebody on that team who's at practice every day, who's grinding every day.
You know, Danny Green said a couple weeks ago, like, you know, we're still waiting on an apology from Ben Simmons. And obviously that's never coming. I was kind of like, why does he need to apologize for? I mean, I guess just for wanting traded. I mean, it's not like he bashed anybody publicly.
No. Moosh just said that basically – his reluctance to physicality and mentally engaging with the team since his return has been a consistent theme, and that's kind of
going through the motions
here.
Yeah, he's literally just going through the motions out there. Yep. And that's embarrassing, man. That's so embarrassing.
So now they're going to trade him. That's what they're going to do. Which,
who's gonna want him, man? Like you say, James Harden. You say Jimmy Butler. Well, those guys are a little different, man. Those guys were actually still pretty good. Those guys were. Jimmy Butler was taking the B team and like balling on the starters over in Minnesota, and then got traded. Like, what's Ben Simmons doing? Like choking in the playoffs, not shooting a wide open layup, and then doing this, being a complete crybaby. Like, you're not a star. You're not a superstar. You're not. You're a B player.
I will say that I'm not going to completely absolve the 76ers. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm Ben Simmons, like, I show back up. Right?
Yeah.
I showed up. I was doing kind of what you asked me. And then we didn't really talk about it because it came out like Friday. And we kind of got lost in the shuffle of like an NFL college football big Ole Miss game Friday. But did you guys not see the report on Friday that some 76ers suspected Ben Simmons was faking a coronavirus exposure so that he didn't have to play game 7 against the Hawks?
No, I didn't see that.
Wait, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. According to Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, Simmons was being held out of the team shoot-around. He told them due to a possible exposure to a team masseuse who had returned an inconclusive COVID-19 test. Several players were questioned about whether they had seen her that morning, but only Simmons said that he had. He answered the question honestly without thinking of the implications, but according to multiple sources, many within the team questioned whether Simmons had actually seen the masseuse or was just trying to get out of playing in the game as he battled the basketball version of the Yips.
Man, the Hawks had him down bad.
Later in the day, the Stafford Simmons test results came back negative, and he was cleared to play in the game, but he wasn't in a good place, and neither were the Sixers. He was thrown, the source says. So, again, if I'm coming back and I'm trying to do, you know, the quote-unquote right thing, who the hell is leaking this? Like, it's coming from somebody on the Sixers side. If I'm Simmons, I'm like, really? Like, you're going to keep doing this to me? And you could say, like, it's not a big deal. It came from anybody else. But, like, if I'm Simmons, like,
say cry. Cry, Ben. I mean, go ahead and cry.
I am going to cry because you're going to get me out of here. I don't want to be around this place anymore. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, I feel like you get to a point where you just don't want to help people that you hate. And I think at this point, he hates the Sixers.
At a certain point, you got to grow up. Sometimes you got to do stuff you don't want to do when you're a grown up. That's part of it. That's part of being an adult sometimes. You know that, Cody. You're starting to learn that, right? That's part of it, man.
Not for everybody.
You got to do this. And then, what? Maybe if you go out and actually look decent a little bit, maybe somebody would be like, you know what? We will trade for that guy. You know what? Maybe that guy isn't a complete loser. But now he looks like a complete loser in his sweatpants, not even practicing.
Sure.
Like, come on!
You're right about...
I just don't get... There's right no about excuse grown-ups. For Ben Simmons.
You're right about grown-ups having to do things they don't like unless you have some power and you have bleep you money and you don't care. I mean, like, not everybody's power structure is the same. Like, Simmons can just be like, here's what I'm going to do and I'm going to get my way. Like, one way or the other. And ultimately, we know what's going to happen. Like, every team buckles and caves and eventually gives the player what they want. And Simmons, you know, depending on which side of the reports you believe, some say he only wants to play for, like, California teams. Some say he's willing to go anywhere, just get out of here. So, like, if he's actually willing to go anywhere, which is unlike James Harden, then someone's going to trade for him, and he'll be out of there. It does make him look bad, but was anybody really still mad at James Harden last year in the playoffs? Like, in the regular season, when we were talking about how the Nets were going to the championship? Like, was anybody really still mad at James Harden?
He's not James Harden, John.
I understand.
He's not James Harden.
But if he goes somewhere and plays well.
He's not even close.
But if he goes somewhere and plays well, we're not going to care. Like, did anybody care about Jimmy Butler when he's with the Heat? When he's with the Sixers helping get them to the conference finals? Was anybody like, oh, man, remember what he did to Minnesota? We're like, oh, no, he got his way. He got out of there. And, like, he started playing, and we're like, oh, yeah, this guy's pretty good at basketball. Like, Ben Simmons isn't that level, but, I mean, he's not far off of what Jimmy Butler was when he forced his way out of Minnesota.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, Jimmy Butler was a top 20 player. I mean, he wasn't a top 10 guy. He hadn't really won anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Simmons is around a top 20-ish player. I mean, you maybe put him lower if you value offense that much more in defense or whatever, but, you know, if he comes out and plays really well and goes to a team and they're winning, no one's really going to care. One game suspension. Cam, do you think he plays this year for the Sixers? Do you think he plays game number two?
I'm leaning no at this point. Like, is he going to just change his behavior? Because I don't think he will. And
this one game, we're going to teach you a lesson, which I guess I'll have to give up a paycheck. You'll miss the paycheck if you're suspended.
I mean, it seems like it's not something that can just be fixed like that at this point.
Not when your head coach is throwing you out of practice. Yeah, like probably making a whole scene. You know how Doc Rivers is about making scenes and making examples of people. You know
probably
how
made it worse. Yeah.
He probably did it in front of everybody and made sure everybody saw it and knew it.
If you don't want to be here, get your ass home. Essentially what
I would say something around that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he's not playing another game. He's not.
I wouldn't think so either.
He's a big baby. Mm-hmm. He's a big baby. That probably.
Doc's kind of a baby too, though.
That's fine. Whatever.
I think Embiid's kind of a baby too. Like I said, I understand that if you want to hate Simmons on him because he does look bad, but I think they all look bad. Like I said, if I'm Ben Simmons and I'm Clutch Agency or whatever, like we tried to come there and be civil, and then again that report comes out that you're accusing me of wanting to dodge Game 7. I'm like, all right, enough of this. This is toxic. They're chanting bleep Ben Simmons at preseason games. Their fans are. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's not worth it for him at this point, I don't think. Yeah,
get me out of here. Like, this is – I don't want to be here, and you guys don't want me here either. Like, that's the thing that if I'm Ben Simmons, I have a problem with. Is like, they're saying all these nice things to me, not because they actually believe in me and want me. It's because they want to fix my trade value.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty much all it is. Like, they just want to fix my trade value. They're not invested in me. They don't believe in me.
I don't know, man. Do you really believe that? What about the players like trying to go out and like visit him and like call him and want to go see him and like
be
and like try to bring him back to Philadelphia? But he's not even he's ghosting everybody.
All those stories came out basically 2 weeks before the season, or 2 weeks before camp or whatever. Like they weren't checking on him in the summer.
You don't know, shooting a text message or something. Sure. I think it was more just like, hey, we're getting close to the season. Sure. Let's try to go at least get him to come to damn practice.
Sure, but Joel Embiid put out a statement at that time, too. Like, he felt the need to tweet out, like, hey, we love Ben Simmons. We want him back. Like, he could have done that immediately after, you know, maybe not immediately, but a week or two after the series. Like, hey, you guys are being too hard on Ben. We still love Ben. We're a team. He didn't do that. None of them did that. They took every opportunity to be like, we don't know. We don't know what he is. We don't know if we can win with him. And, you know, sometimes relationships just get killed.
I forgot. You got to completely suck up to Ben Simmons, I guess, to get him to what dunk to get to make a dunk. Like is that what we're trying to do here?
Look,
like
you see, Trae
like
Young
we got to suck up to Ben Simmons and be like, oh yeah, we have to have Ben. We need Ben. When in reality, the Sixers kind of realize like, yeah, he's second, maybe third best player on the team.
Okay, then trade me. Like, if you don't need me, trade me. That's Ben Simmons' point. If you don't need me, trade me. You can't have it both ways. I can't be trash and you don't need me, and you also don't want to trade me. Can't be both.
Just because you're third best player doesn't mean we necessarily don't need Ben Simmons at all.
You know, I think both sides.
I think that what this is Ben Simmons thinks he's a star. He thinks he's a superstar, and he's not. And the Sixers are finally saying, you know what? Yeah, you're really not a star. We still want you to play, whatever. We still want you to try to improve, get better, but we know you're not going to do that. You've not committed to shooting a three. You've not committed to improving that jump shot. You've not done any of that. All you've done is sit there and cry all offseason.
Really,
so we
really
realize, hey, you're not that good.
He's still really, really good at the jump shot, though.
Like, is he? Is he good enough to elevate the 76ers to where they want to go? Is he good enough to do that?
He'll get him to a one seed. Like, I mean, he's the best.
Yeah, what the hell's a one seed doing when you're losing to the Hawks? No offense to your guys' Hawks, but that was a team they should have beat. You guys could agree with that. The Hawks are young. They have zero playoff experience. Ben Simmons and Embiid have done this how many times now?
Exactly.
And disappointed you how many times?
Exactly. Ben Simmons and who? Embiid. And Doc Rivers. Like, Doc Rivers has blown how many series leads? How many?
That's fair.
Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Joel Embiid has won what? I mean, he's not got to the conference finals. Like, and again, it's all coming down to Ben Simmons. If I'm Ben Simmons, I'm like, hey, I'm not here to score. You guys keep talking about me shooting. You paid Tobias Harris $180 million. You go get buckets, Tobias Harris. You go get buckets, Seth Curry. Yeah. Hey, Embiid, big man, go score. I'm not here to score. I'm here to play defense and, you know.
Distribute.
That's what I'm doing. You guys score. I don't need to shoot a jump shot. I got you guys to do that.
We need you to dunk it, though, Ben. We need you to dunk it. I mean, you see the tweets where it's like, hey, every retweet, I'm going to make Trae Young smaller. And there he goes. Down, down, down.
Have you seen that one?
Ben Simmons is right there at the rim.
You know, when you have.
It just makes you realize how crazy it is that he did not finish that play.
When you have
crazy.
When you have Trae Young in front of you and Gallinari behind you.
Oh, God. Here we go.
There's not much you can do.
Yeah, that's terrifying defense.
Who was
right
it he passed it to? Was it Tobias?
It was Thabo.
Thibel.
Yeah.
No one's yelling about Matisse Thibel missing one of those free throws. If he would have made both his free throws, that wouldn't even have been a story. But they missed a free throw, and the talks came down and extended their lead. But again, it's all Ben Simmons. If I'm Ben Simmons, I'm fed up with that. Like, I understand I messed up. I understand I short-circuited. And, like, people do get the yips in sports. Whether or not that's what happened with Ben Simmons, I don't know. But we've seen him be good before. And all of a sudden, he was not a basketball player. We've seen this in baseball where guys have forgotten how to throw the ball from second to first base, how pitchers have forgotten to pitch. We've had guys lose their golf swing. We've seen a lot of like mental things happen where people just have a bad time. And, you know, it would hurt to then be, you know, scapegoated by everyone on your team afterwards. But that's what happens. That's why.
That's what happens when you're so-called superstar.
Sure.
You're going to that's what comes with the that's what comes with the reputation, buddy. If you want to be that guy.
I'm with it. Where did that Embiid who went, what'd he go, Cam? 0 for 11 in that second half?
Yeah, he was awful
in that fourth quarter of game 7, yep. Was getting you know, absolutely nothing. Capella was shutting him down. Steph Curry was getting his ass busted by Kevin Huerter.
Mhm. Oh, that was glorious. Shout out to him. Paid the man.
But Joel Embiid has, you know, slid through all that because he has funny tweets. Mm-hmm. And he was smart enough to nickname himself The Process to get really the Sixers to like really embrace him because they were doing the whole trust the process thing. It was good marketing by him.
I mean, yeah, game 7, he scored 31 points, 11 of 21, 52% shooting, 70% from the line, and 11 boards.
Look up his stats in the last 5 minutes. Look at the play-by-play of the last 5 minutes. And it's fine. Embiid was good that series, but he had moments in game 5 where –
Game 4, he struggled. That was the game 4 of 20. I think that's when he missed all those shots in the second half.
No, I don't think it was.
Was it not?
I think game 5 was the game he came out and busted Capella's ass in the first half. It was doing all that trash talk.
He went 12 of 20 in game. He had 37 points
in
game 5.
Right, but I think he had 30 in the first half. Because that's what he was telling Capella. Because Capella said we just have to get him tired. And Embiid came out and was like yelling about all this stuff. And everyone was like, oh, you know, Embiid is taking the challenge. And he's taking it personal. And then he got tired in the second half and... Capella was right, and they blew a 20-point lead.
Yeah, that was the one where I rallied them to.
No, that was game 5. That was game 4.
Yeah.
Game 5. They blew the game 5. They blew
that.
Yeah,
they did blow that. That was the 44?
They were up 27 points. 70 like
something?
Quarter.
Yeah.
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 And like I said, Embiid had a second half. I want to say he was like 0 for 11.
Mm.
And again, if you look at the play-by-play of the game 7, he, the last 4 minutes, had a couple turnovers and missed a couple shots. Like, didn't do anything to impact the game. But he didn't look scared of the moment, so I will give Embiid credit for that. I don't want to say it's equal. Like Ben Simmons 100% looks scared of the moment. Nope. But again, I'm like, hey, you guys know who I am. I've been the same player. I'm not good offensively. Don't give me the ball here. I just want to play defense. You score, Tobias Harris. Earn some of this $180 million. We'll get back to the NFL after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. My bad. It was Embiid going over 12 in the second half of game 4.
Wow. Guess I was right, huh? What?
Has also put up 0 in the second half of game 5. I don't think that's correct. Anyways. You were correct in that regard. What do you make of the Buffalo Bills last night? Your boys, the unbeatable Josh Allen. The unbeatable Buffalo Bills. What'd you make last night?
Defense completely overrated, I would say. That's a start. We kind of forget that in the Chiefs game, there was how long of a delay in that game? An hour and a half, something like that. I'd say that would benefit the defense more than it would the offense, right? Having the offense kind of go a little stale there.
Sure.
And then, like you've mentioned a few times, I mean, just beat it up on a lot of weaker offenses. So I would say the defense is probably a lot overrated. We were thinking that defense was top 5 in the NFL. It's not. Offense is still good, but
time I was really surprised at the lack of pressure they got last night. I don't know if it was
their front's not that great though.
But
is it?
I mean, they were singing Rousseau's,
mm-hmm.
you know, their first round pick from Miami. They were singing his praises against Kansas City, talking about how he like you know changed the defense and you know, you're pointing like look they you know got back to back shutouts and look what they're doing this Chiefs defense and like you know I was worried that their front 7 was going to beat up the Titans because offensive line hasn't been good. But like I don't feel like Tannehill was really under much pressure last night.
Even with LeJuan getting hurt too.
I mean zero sacks last night, and like
and he's the most sacked quarterback coming into this week, wasn't he? I believe so. If not, he was up there.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, obviously, but yeah, I mean zero sacks last night. I was a little surprised by that, but so you your takeaway is the Bills defense just overrated?
Yeah, overrated. Still, I mean it's pretty much the same team as last year, isn't it? For Buffalo, like.
I will say it's better because they got Emmanuel Sanders as their number 2 option. Like Cole Beasley seems to be much more of a third guy now, which I think is more of you know a benefit for them. Like actually having a number 2 receiver.
Yeah.
Because last year I can't even name was it. I mean I guess they had who was it?
They had
John, not John Ross.
John Brown.
John Brown. Yeah. Yeah, was he there last year?
Thank you. Was it two years ago?
He might have been hurt. They also had Gabriel Davis, who's a rookie, the guy at UCF. He's been kind of good for them
sometimes, but yeah, doesn't have that kind of speed.
But like, they still can't run the football very well. We saw that last night. I mean, couldn't really do much in that aspect. Josh Allen's still maybe their best running back. Like, it just feels like the same team. A defense that's gonna kind of hold you back a little bit. Josh Allen's great, but I don't know. It just, like I said, same team as last year to me.
23 carries for 82 yards. Singletary, 5 of 27. Zach Moss, 8 of 24. So your main running backs didn't do much.
Nope.
But Sanders, Diggs, and Beasley all got loose. I mean, they all had 88 yards or more.
Mm-hmm.
Beasley and Diggs with touchdowns. I was surprised at how good their defense had looked early in the season, especially against the Chiefs. But again, the Chiefs just had turnovers, right? I mean, the Chiefs just kept dropping the ball.
I mean, really, yeah, really. I mean, Mahomes dropped the snap at one point. Remember that? Like, it was kind of a disaster there for a few possessions for Kansas City.
Bills still, I mean, they're still among the elite, though, right? I mean, you're still, this is still a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl.
I do think it was a more important win for the Titans than it was a bad loss for the Bills, personally.
I agree, yeah.
I think you're kind of, like, you're still in the driver's seat for your division. Obviously, they
had a real stranglehold had they won, though. They could have been right there where the Cowboys are, you know, three games up. Instead, only two games up, although the Patriots, you know, losing to the Cowboys. If the Patriots won that game, it might have actually been interesting in that division because they play, you know, they don't play until December. So, like, you know, you can give the Patriots maybe a little time to get better, but...
I feel like the Bills aren't too terrified of the teams behind them right now.
Sure.
And obviously, I think you can kind of see that by the fact that they went for it instead of just kicking the field goal, trying to go to overtime. I think that's just like, hey, we lose it here? Oh, well. Like, sorry, we were right there. Also, we feel like we're good enough to get it right here. So I think that just shows confidence in the team some. So I think they'll be able to still bounce back and be fine going forward. I think it is important for, I think, players to know their coach trusts them in situations like that to go for it. But
yeah, I had no problems with them going for it. I mean, you got Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good short yardage back. You had said it, you know, outside before the show, maybe don't run a quarterback sneak because his power is kind of like his thing. And although quarterback sneaks usually work. Big win for the Titans, I thought, because, you know, on one hand, it's pretty maddening. We could be 5-1 and tied for the AFC lead had we not lost to the Jets. Although, you don't get excuses when you lose to the Jets, but, you know, they were really, really injured and banged up and had half the team miss in that game. So it just is what it is with them. They're going to lay an egg every now and then. But you could be 5-1. You probably should be 5-1. You know, just beat the Jets. And then you could be, you know, first place in the AFC. But I do think it was important to keep that two-game lead over the Colts, who we've looked at their schedule. They're going to be someone in the mix. And now the Titans, you know, have a tiebreaker over the Bills if it matters. And when you start looking at their next stretch, I mean, yeah, you beat Buffalo, but you still got to play Kansas City at Indianapolis and at the Rams over your next three. So winning this game means at worst you'll be 4-5 whenever you, you know, get back home to play New Orleans and Houston, which you should win both of those.
Is Tennessee back in contention? Everybody talks about these AFC teams. Everybody pretty much left out Tennessee. It was the Chargers, the Ravens. Sure. People were talking about the Browns a couple weeks ago, and maybe not as much anymore, but of course the Bills. Like, nobody was really talking about this Titans as a contender in this conference.
I think the Titans could beat anybody in the AFC. I mean, is that saying too much? I mean, you beat the Bills, who was the number one. Like you, and I won't call it a fluke. I mean, like, could Buffalo have easily won that game? Yeah, sure. But like, you went toe to toe with them. Even if they had beaten you, like you went toe to toe. You get to play Kansas City this week. Kansas City open is what, 4.5-point favorites. I'll be curious to see where that line goes.
In Nashville, is it in Nashville? Yeah.
I don't know if I can do it again. Get up for another one.
Back to back big ones, huh?
It's a letdown game for the crowd, too. I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to try to power through it for the boys, but fatigued. But yeah, they opened up as, you know, 4.5-point favorites when the lines came out yesterday. If you look right now, it's 5.5. So, I mean, people back in Kansas City there. 5.5
favorites after the Titans beat the Bills. See, they're still kind of overlooked, it feels like, right?
The Chiefs get big respect, we know that. And also, like, the Titans defense is banged up. So, I mean, I guess they're going to think the Chiefs are going to score a bunch of points. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Titans still not getting that respect. 5.5 is surprising because the Titans have played the Chiefs pretty well, especially, right. You know, and beat them in Nashville. It's
a massive spread. I mean, neutral side, that's what, an 8.5-point spread?
Yeah.
10, I mean, really, when you look at it. And again, I don't think Kansas City looked good against Washington. I know they blew them out, but I thought that was more just Washington's not a good football team.
The thing I don't understand, like, my biggest problem, and, you know, as a Titans fan, you're used to it. You know, like, people don't really pay attention to your team. Although, I thought maybe they would more after some success, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they'll talk about you. But, like, people are just so wrong about the team. Like, last night, I didn't have a problem with people picking the Bills, but, like, seeing the pregame, like, predictions and having, like, two or three people saying, like, the Titans were going to score 17 points. And it's like, have you watched the Titans the last 2.5 years? Like, the best offense in, like, they're one of the best offenses in the NFL. Like, since Ryan Tannehill took over, like, they're one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't know where that currently stands right now, but coming into the year, they were, like, number two or number three. Like, they have, may have been number one, actually. They scored a lot of points. And, like, to say they were going to score 17, I just thought was ridiculous. Like, yeah, we might lose a shootout, but we'll score 17 points if you watch our offense.
And they always, like you said, they always get up for these big games. They do.
The good news is there's another big game coming up the weekend. The good news is, like, the next 3 weeks are all big games, so the Titans should stay up. Don't have to worry about the usual letdown game, because in the past, they'd win this game, the media would talk great about them all week, and then they turn around and lose.
Lose to the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have to worry about that, because, again, you got to play the Chiefs at the Colts, a big division game where you can shut the door on that division if you win and get the sweep, and then in L.A. for the Rams on Sunday Night Football. I might go out to that game.
Mm-hmm.
I might go out to that game.
Where, in L.A.?
I've always wanted to go to L.A.
Los Angeles? Huh.
Their stadium's sweet.
I might go out there. So it's not hard to get a ticket there. I might catch me a flight.
Hmm.
Might put some party in the USA on and touch down in LAX. I might do it. Cam, send us a break. We'll come back. We'll hit some quick power rankings. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cam, hit us with your post-Week 6 NFL power rankings.
All right, number 5, I gave it to the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh.
They're rocking and rolling despite the injuries. Aaron Rodgers still getting it done. They'll be fine. They're coasting to the division.
Tad overrated. Right. You'll see a little bit more from the Packers. Anyways.
Number 4, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're just quietly just still chugging along, doing their thing. Just winning. Wasn't the prettiest game against the Eagles towards the end, but they did the job. They handled business. They got it done. They're still a really good team. Number 3, I have the Los Angeles Rams. Rams rocking and rolling. Rams are rocking and rolling. Stafford looking good. Cup dominating as usual. They're going to be a tough out if you know, throughout the season, and if they get, you know, in a good spot in the playoffs.
Go ahead and say them.
The Baltimore Ravens! Ravens went out and had a pretty big statement win against a Chargers team, and people were really hyping up and starting to, you know, get on the side of being a possible contender in the AFC. Baltimore shut that down and shut it down pretty handedly. Defense played pretty well, which was their big question mark. I think that's huge for them. And at number 1, hey, you're undefeated. Keep it rocking and rolling. The Arizona Cardinals. Big win for them, too. The Browns were another team that people are still think is a possible, you know, division champ still. Probably not anymore at this point, but they were a team that wasn't contingent for that. Baker looking a little rough, but still, big win for the Cardinals, and they dominated that game as well. It's to stay undefeated. I'm giving them that credit. They're my number 1 team.
Where'd the Cowboys come in at?
6.
Oh. Wow, not even in the top 5. That just seems...
I mean, when you struggle with a Patriots team and go to overtime, I just can't have
that.
Yeah,
since
top 5.
Tom Brady didn't struggle with that same Patriots team, he probably should have lost.
He didn't go to overtime.
To a field goal. But either way, it's not my rankings. It's not my rankings.
That's true.
Seems a little disrespectful still, but okay.
My rankings, number 5, welcome to the top 5, Baltimore Ravens. You know, the defense might not actually be a problem. I've been pumping the brakes on them a little bit just because I feel like the defense has been bad, but it turns out the defense might not be bad. Defense might be actually kind of good. Who would have thought?
Not
is Lamar, me. Like, going to just continue to just be really good? I mean, like, has he fixed the passing? Like, is that going to be a...
Okay, well, people keep acting like he was just absolutely unreal Sunday. He threw for 167 yards and 2 picks. Like,
yeah,
let's not act like he was tearing it up. I think that was more about Justin Herbert not being able to perform very well, and also Brandon Staley. We can call him courageous and cool coach and all that, but Sometimes you go for a fourth down, you're not going to get it. But anyways, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. A little oil blown out of proportion. They're a good team, but they didn't have a great day.
Number four for me. Man, I still got them at number four. Arizona Cardinals just took care of business against the Browns, but I'm trying not to overrate that Browns win. I just don't think the Browns are very good. Going on the road and winning is a big deal. I still think they're one of the elite teams in the NFL, but I just can't put them higher than four right now because, to me, the top three is kind of clearly the top three. Number three, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Still got some questions about their defense, of course, but they just keep rolling offensively. Really, really good. A quarterback that's going to be hard to kill. You find it so implausible, Draven, that somebody like Michael Myers exists when Tom Brady is Michael Myers. Just keeps coming. All these years. All these sequels. Why don't somebody just cut off his head, they ask? Yeah, I know. Why don't they? Number two for me, the Green Bay Packers. And number one, the Los Angeles Rams.
Nice.
I don't know what I'll take to get the LA Rams out of my number one spot, but I'm just going to keep them there for a while. Hour one, what's wrong with you?
I just, nothing, whatever, nothing. I think you guys are doing this on purpose. But it's fun. That's fun. I like being underrated, honestly.
Who would you take out of the top five for the Cowboys?
I quit listening to your top five, to be honest.
Ravens, Cardinals, Bucks, Packers, Rams. Who are you taking out?
Packers. Overrated. Who they beating?
That road win against Cincinnati was pretty good.
Oh, it wasn't. That team that you said that was completely overrated, that they should have lost to.
Just because I said that. Kicker can make a kick in that game. I mean, you said the Bengals were underrated.
They beat the Niners. Well, they're looking really good. Oh, they beat the Bears.
The Niners were healthy.
Can't score.
The Niners were healthy when they beat them.
Yeah. Oh, they beat the Lions on primetime. Almost forgot they beat the winless Lions.
Relation to the Dallas Cowboys, who are the Dallas Cowboys beating?
Just the Chargers.
Justin Herbert, that's it?
Chargers?
He looks really good this week.
Patriots are better than what the Packers are beating.
The Patriots are better than who?
The Bengals.
No, they're not.
If they played head-to-head, I think the Patriots could win that game.
They could, but they're not. It's not going to be some slam dunk. The Bengals will be favored.
If it's in New England?
If it's in New England, it'd probably be a coin flip. If it's in Cincinnati, they'd be probably 4.5-point favorites. Who else? Who else the Cowboys beating?
Eagles are just about just about as good as maybe the Niners at this point.
Not whenever the Packers beat the Niners, though. Who else? Who else are the mighty Cowboys beating? Daniel Jones, an injured Daniel Jones. They beat Mike Glennon.
Knew that was coming. The Panthers.
Yeah.
Better than
who?
Some of the teams the Packers have been
some
beating.
Some of them. The Panthers and the Bears would go head-to-head, and it would go right down to the wire. Like, give me a break. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not dismissing the Cowboys. They'd be my number seven team. Maybe number eight. They'd be my number eight team. Six Titans, seven Bills, eight Cowboys.
Come on now. You don't actually believe that.
Well, maybe I put the Cowboys ahead of the Bills. I don't know. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by the Book at Harris Cherokee with elevated viewing areas, HD and 4K TVs, and panoramic views of the Book's giant game wall. This is the place to be seen and watch all the games. They're private fan caves. Oof, convenient access to betting stations. And like I said, you don't even have to have the fan cave there to enjoy it. Just go there and watch all the games. Kind of a slow NFL weekend coming up. Really the only good Sunday afternoon game is Titans-Chiefs. Maybe go there and just watch it at the Book at Harris Cherokee. Cam, hour one's in the books. Hour two is on deck. Get us to break. We'll come back and we'll kick it off with headlines.